The views expressed on this program are those of the individual participants and not necessarily those of WVUD or the University of Delaware. Welcome to the Music Room on WVUD and WVUD HD1 Newark. Each week, WVUD hosts different artists to talk about the music they play and the lives they lead. Stay tuned for the Music Room on WVUD.
Good evening and welcome to the Music Room on WVUD. I'm Mando Richard, and tonight we're going to play for you an interview that we recorded on July 16th of 2016 when banjo player Kristen Scott Benson called in to Fire on the Mountain, the show that Carl Goldstein usually hosts, but I was hosting it that day. Kristen is the banjo player with the Grascals, and she's a multiple Banjo Player of the Year award winner. Without any further ado, here come the Grascals and Warm Wind on WVUD.
There's a warm wind blowing in the hills tonight. I can feel it whistling through the pines.
This is Kristen Scott Benson, and you're listening to Listener Supported Voice for the University of Delaware, WVUD, WVUD HD1, Newark. Well, Richard, I am so glad to be here talking to you today, and I'm excited about my day. I'm here with my husband and son, which is rare. If anyone knows anything about bluegrass, they may know that my husband plays mandolin for third time out. So between the Grascals and Third Time Out, we're never home on Saturdays in the summertime. And my son and I are, and my husband, we're going to the show that I play with the Grascals today, which isn't far from home. And we're going to the Appalachian Cookie Company prior to that, which is real near the show. And that's what I'm excited about.
I bet that's what Hogan's excited about, too.
Man, that's the highlight. It's like the show is interfering with our trip to the cookie company. And if you hear the squeaking in the background, that's our puppy. We have a Labradoodle puppy, and he has a squeak toy, and I was going to take it away from him before we went on air, and I can't catch him. So that may be with us throughout if I can't grab the dog and get the toy out of his mouth.
How old is Hogan now?
Hogan is 9, and he is a big fisherman. That is his passion, and that's what he loves to do. We get asked, 15 times a day, what is play? And he doesn't show any signs of interest in music, but he absolutely loves to fish.
Well, you sure showed signs of loving music. Most kids, when they're 12 or so, they beg their parents for a dog, a pony, a dirt bike, but you were begging for a banjo.
I was, and I was 13 when I got one. In fact, I got one a little sooner than that. I got one when I was 9, and about a month after getting it, our house burned down. And
oh,
as you
I'm
might imagine, there were things higher on the priority list than a banjo, so it was a few years before I got one and could actually start playing. But yeah, I tell people I conquered peer pressure at an early age because deciding to play banjo when you're a teenager is not the coolest thing. But even though it is, you have to be a little bit different, I think, to think it. So I started playing mandolin, though, when I was 5. And I think you and I may talk a little bit about the track a little later on in the show, Foggy Mountain Top, mm-hmm. for my new record. So my grandfather played professionally, and he kind of got me started on mandolin when I was a very little girl, and my dad also liked to play, and he would play guitar with me and stuff, so it was always there. So the lead to banjo was actually just a continuation of what had started from when I was, born, really.
Well, before we get on to more of your early stuff, we've got to have you talk about the two tracks the folks just heard. They heard Warm Wind from the Grascals, January release, and then there's this.
Yeah, that was one that I fought for. We cut that track on the record behind this one. I can't even remember which. I think that would have been When I Get My Pay.
Yes.
And we cut the track then, and for some reason didn't make it on the record. And when we were starting to do this album, which ended up being titled And Then There's This, which is an odd title, but I reminded everybody about this track because Carl Jackson wrote it. I really love this song. I love the demo on it, and we had the track already, so I just brought it to everyone's attention again, and they were happy to finish it out with the vocals. But I was very fond of it from the start. I think it's hard to find those medium tempo new bluegrass songs, meaning they're very bluegrass flavored, but they're new. They're it's something that sounds like it could have been old, but it isn't. And I think those are a real find when you get a hold of one, so I didn't want to let it go.
One of the things I really love about that track is it really highlights your banjo playing as a member of the ensemble. I mean, you really are doing some tasteful melodic picking under the vocals.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks for that. You have to play different, every band that you're in. And if you look back at the bands I've been in, they all sounded so different. And so as a result, at least to some degree, your banjo playing should sound different. But I am a very melody-based player, and sometimes I joke and I say I'm not creative enough to play anything else, but there's some truth in that, because if you adhere to the melody and at least remember the spirit of the song and the integrity of the song and remember it's not about a cool banjo lick, it's about playing the song, then it you never run out of ideas because you're driven by whatever someone is singing.
And when you do that, you don't distract from the singing.
And that's not our job. Our job is to be supportive.
And it's so much more interesting than just doing the chomp, 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 like those of us who play mandolin would be doing, the backbeat.
Well, like I said, as my mandolin playing husband could attest, I continually remind him that banjos are cooler.
The other song the folks heard before you came on the air with that ID, and thank you so much for doing this, we heard something from your newest release, your solo project, Stringworks, and that was Great Waterton. I was telling you off the air, when I first heard that, it just grabbed me. That is a strong, strong tune.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. Yeah, the new album, Stringworks, is on Mountain Home. It's officially available July 22nd. You can go to iTunes now and get some of the songs as a pre-order, or you can just wait and buy the whole thing, which will be available July 22nd. And then I also have copies now, so if you order one from me, you can get it in the mail pretty soon. But that's the first tune on the record, and it's one that I wrote. And the label actually had the idea of starting the album with that. I was going to choose something else to be first, and they wanted that one to be first. I think it's turned out to be a good idea because so far the feedback we're getting is what you said. That it's a nice, catchy start for the record.
Oh, it really is. It just caught my attention right away. And, you know, I'm listening to it, and I immediately emailed you back and said, hey, can you come talk on the air?
Well, thank you so much for that. I appreciate it.
It's when you're making up stuff, what are some of your inspirations?
Well, I had a great question on an interview I did a few days ago, and they said, you know, how basically the short question, the short version was, how contrived is it versus how inspired is it? And it goes both ways. You know, in this case, in the case of Great Waterton, the tunes that are hardest for me to write are the barn burners, the really fast bluegrass sounding tunes. It's not really my favorite thing to do, and as a result, it's not the easiest thing for me to write. But when I looked at the material that I had for the album, I knew the record needed that. So in this case, it's somewhat contrived. You know, I sat down with my banjo and thought, I need to write a really fast tune. And the reason I think I'm not good at that is because I always feel like they just sound like bad Scruggs tunes. That's how I feel about my fast songs. So, you know, I just messed with it and tried to come up with a turn or come up with something to make it a little different to give it its own identity. So in that case, you know, I sat down with a goal in mind, but some of the other tunes on the record, for instance, Traveler's Rest or Eagle Eye Annie, you know, those just came naturally. And I had the banjo in my hands, or I heard something in my head and grabbed it. And those, you know, had nothing to do with planning to do a record. It was just an idea, and it turned into those tunes. So it can happen both ways. And I think you just have to be real about it as a musician and sometimes just say, you know what, sometimes you have to sit down with a goal and you have to write whatever you know, hopefully you can come up with something. You have to write based on your needs, you know, and that's being real about it.
The bands that I usually play in are more, you know, classified as old time, you know, the stuff that came before bluegrass. And
sure,
that's often a battle. I mean, oh, that's a new song, we can't play that. But
I think
when you have made up things, they still... you can hear the tradition seeping through, and when you do the melody runs, they're not totally crazy, but they are different from what a lot of banjo players do.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. And, you know, some of the tunes that I write, I clearly think these aren't good enough to put on anything, you know. So it's definitely a painful process. Some people just write tunes constantly, and they have so many they forget more than they remember. And I'm not like that. I have tunes come every now and again, and then we'll focus when it's time for a record on writing some more. So I really appreciate that vote of confidence because I oftentimes doubt myself when it comes to writing.
Who'd you collaborate with on this album? Were you lucky enough to have Wayne play on a few tracks?
Yeah. He played on the entire record. The core band was Tim Surratt, who plays bass for Balsam Range, and Wayne, who I mentioned, played mandolin. Cody Kilby, who's playing guitar after many years with Dirty Skaggs, he plays for the Traveling McCurries now, and then me. We cut the tracks. And the two fiddle players were Jim Van Cleve, which most bluegrass people know him as Mountain Heart, and he's playing with country acts these days, and Adam Haynes, who is the fiddle player with the Graspels. So that was the band that did all the music.
I bet it was a treat for you to get to collaborate with your husband, Wayne Benson.
Yeah, it's fun. It's rare. You know, it doesn't happen often. Wednesday, we're going to play a show, not together, but both bands will be there. That may happen a few times a year where both bands are at the same festival on the same day, but it doesn't happen often, and it's certainly not something we do at home together. You know, we're just really busy. We've got a son and a life, and it's just not, you know, a part of our home life as far as playing music together. So if you get a chance to do something like this, it's it's definitely a neat thing just to be able to be together in a musical setting because it doesn't happen often.
Off the air, I told you that my favorite track of the year is from jazz guitarist Bill Frisell, and you said you felt like you were the last person who didn't have XM radio, and I assured you I don't have it either. But it's really interesting to see how the banjo is getting into all sorts of different kinds of music, and I think you even talked about that in an interview with Bluegrass Today a few years ago.
Yeah, I might have done that. You know, it's not at the forefront of a lot of different genres, but it's certainly being used as a texture instrument these days, which I suppose is progress. And, you know, I'm really a fan of all the different sects of bluegrass, if you want to call it that. You know, some bluegrass players, and you'll find this in any genre, but especially a very specific roots type music like bluegrass. Many of the musicians even, but especially listeners, but just like one thing. And I'm kind of off of that. I like everything. You know, if I hear anybody, even if it's not necessarily that good, I tend to get what people are going for. And I'm just, my default setting is to like what I hear. So I'm a fan of just about everything that I hear people trying to do. You know, I think, oh, well, good for them. And then there's also this, you know, absolute virtuoso group of musicians that are just doing all kinds of awesome, great things with bluegrass these days that I'm very far removed from, as far as the Punch Brothers and Tierra Hall and you know, even the String Dusters, who are, you know, they start out playing some normal bluegrass festivals, sort of similar to what the Grassels would do. And now they've moved into a lot of different types of venues and stuff. So I'm so proud of bands like that, you know, attract people that would have no exposure to these instruments even, let alone loosely calling it bluegrass, because some people take offense if you do, but I just think it's fantastic. I think they're using these instruments to do amazing things, and I love to hear it.
And I mean, Bella Fleck is a banjoist that is like the poster child for, let's see what genre we can play the banjo in this time.
Oh, my gosh. I think that was his goal. If you look at his body of work, I mean, it's so clear that because he does have a body of work. He didn't just play with this group of bands and hear the records he did with them. You know, whatever his interest was at the time, whether it's all different types of world music, I mean, or classical, or whatever he's interested in, whatever adds his heart at the time, there's usually a record or two or three to sort of mark that in his development. So I feel like we kind of, when you have a player like Bela, you have a roadmap of their development because they record as they grow. And I'm just, you know, enthralled by musicians that are that great.
Well, you could say the same thing about yourself because, I mean, you've recorded traditional tunes like Sally Ann and Sandy River Bell, and now you're doing a lot of new stuff with the Grassels and your new record.
Yeah, this new record is, you know, it's what we say, it's kind of a musical snapshot is what I've been saying to folks because I think it's one of the best descriptions of a solo record. For an album like this, I mean, we cut all 12 songs in one day. We did some fixes the next, and then the vocals were done later. But as far as recording the tunes, you know, it went very fast. So it's just a moment in time. It's how we played that day. And you put tons of preparation in it, and you do tons of work after it's done. That's like the actual recording of it is just a blip. You know, that goes by fast. And it's just a snapshot of my taste, you know, what I really like to listen to and what I like to write, and, you know, some of the vocal material that I'm drawn to that might not be suitable for the band that I'm in. And the coolest thing about a solo record to me is that you get to take material that you're, you know, inspired by and then pair it with the perfect singer. You know, when I heard When Fall Comes to New England, I thought, Claire Lynch has got to sing that. And thankfully she said yes. When I heard the gospel song, You Gotta Climb Over the Cross, I said, that sounds like a Sean Lane song. And he sang it. So, you know, that's a real privilege to have the autonomy and the freedom to kind of bring in the people that you hear on each of these tunes.
We are talking with winner of a multiple IBMA Banjo of the Year titles, and I think you won a Spigma Banjo Player of the Year award as well, Kristen Scott Benson. And you really have created your own style. Who did you start off listening to as a little girl, and how did it evolve?
You know, I always heard bluegrass, and we mentioned at the beginning that it was just always a part of the house and a part of life. So I always heard it. None of the sounds were new to me. They had just always been there. But when I got really serious about listening was when I started playing the banjo when I was 13. And, of course, you know, it went back to Earl Scruggs and Sonny Osborne and J.D. Crowe and Bill Emerson. And the guy that taught me lessons, Al Osteen, was a phenomenal banjo player. And he was a huge influence. And I just spent a lot of time on all these guys. And then when I was 15 years old, ironically, at Sigma in Nashville, Tennessee, I bought the album Drive by Bela Fleck. And boy, that was a world shift for me. I loved it. I just thought it was the neatest thing. And in addition to that record, I got On the Boulevard by Newgrass Revival, was still one of my favorite all-time albums. So, you know, at that point, it was like I was awakened to, you know, this other side of the instrument that I hadn't heard yet. So, you know, I really just listened to anybody. I played with records all the time. I took lessons. So the foundation for us all within the bluegrass context is definitely Earl Scruggs. But after that, the second generation guys that I mentioned were huge influences, and then it just grew from there. Scott Vestal is an extremely big influence for me, both as part of Doyle and then what he did later on.
He seems to be one of just about everybody's favorite session banjo players.
Well, he's so talented and versatile, and he also has his own studio. In fact, the last banjo record I did was called Second Season, and I recorded it at Scott's studio. But I think the thing that you get with Scott is a one-stop shop. No matter what the record is, no matter what the breadth of material is, you're going to have a guy that can play appropriately on absolutely anything. If you want real aggressive, straight bluegrass, he certainly can do that. Or if you want very much outside of the box banjo playing, he can do that as well. So I don't know anybody that you could send it to and feel more confidently about it coming back being, you know, just wonderful.
Well, I think you're one of those banjo players that just about everybody in the world would feel comfortable playing with as well.
Well, thanks.
Now, I know you have other things you need to do today, and before I get you to talk about the next track we're going to play, is there anything that you wish I had asked you?
No, I think I should brag on the vocalists. We got to talk about the players, but I'm so indebted to the folks that sang on the record and the writers involved, and so I just let everyone know this record is half instrumental, half vocal, and the lead singers on it are Claire Lynch and Chris Jones and Grant Williams, who is an old college friend of mine who wrote two of the songs and sang one of them, Mickey Harris, Sean Lane, and then Foggy Mountain Top, it features two of the Graskals, Terry Eldridge and John Bryan. It also features, though, a live radio cut from 1941, 42.
Wow.
Of my grandfather playing with his partner, Roy Grant. So the duet name was Whitey and Hogan. This was pre-bluegrass. And I have this old cassette recording of this radio show, and it just occurred to me when we were doing this that we could possibly combine them with us, and that's what we ended up doing.
Oh, it's a really wonderful opening to a great track. And again, Kristen Scott Benson, the name of the new CD is Stringworks. It's available, you said, July 22nd, but available for download now at many of the usual places, for at least some of the tracks are. Kristen, thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Richard.
And here comes Foggy Mountaintop on WVUD and WVUD HD1, Newark.
Thank you. guessed it. That was those two little dirty-faced boys from the mountain country, old Whitey and Hogan. A couple of the finest kids you ever saw.
Thanks for listening to The Music Room on WVUD. For more information about this and other episodes of The Music Room, including selections from the interviews and information about the music, visit us online at sites.udel.edu/TMR. Tune in next Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. for another episode of The Music Room on WVUD and WVUD HD1 Newark.